All right, before we get going, I want you to take something out of your pocket or purse, okay? I want you to hold it over the table. Over the table, not the floor. Unless you want to stoop down and pick it up. Okay, when I say let go, let go. What caused that?
God's law.
Gravity. Okay, do it again. Okay? Do it again. Okay? What does that prove? That proves the laws of God work all the time. Can you see the law? No. Can you hear the law? No. Can you speak to the law? No. But it works. Every time. Likewise, all of God's laws work all the time. Okay? God never changes. He's creator, life giver. He's made the earth. He has a great plan. If you want to be part of his plan, then you repent and get on God's side. God's not going to come to you. Bible says you seek God. See, that's where it's at. Now, we're going to read the things here in 2 Kings, the 17th chapter. But remember, we just came from Judges, the 2nd chapter. Now, what I want you to do, whether you believe that the leading nations of the world today are the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel or not, since there is a God and we live in this land, it is land that God has given to us or brought us here to be here. One of the two. We still live in the land, don't we? Yes. All right. Also, God is no respecter of persons. It's like the law of gravity. You love God, you receive blessing. You obey God, he will bless you. If you sin and disobey God and you don't repent and you keep sinning and keep sinning and keep sinning and keep sinning, remember the keys that dropped. Let that be every sin. And after a while, you build up lots of sin. And then God brings the punishment. Now, he doesn't have to say, okay, I bring this punishment against you. Bang. It comes automatically. Then there comes a time when everything is so collectively bad. Any nation, any people, anywhere on earth, then God has to intervene to punish. So think about it in your life. Do you want to come to God on his terms? Or is God going to have to bring you to him through punishment on his terms because you won't listen? And that's what needs to be presented to this nation. We have a lot of do-gooders out there. But you've got to come to God. God is not going to accept lip service. Let me tell you what happened in Georgia 3 years ago when they had a drought down there. They had 3 days' water supply for the city of Atlanta. And the governor of Georgia called a special meeting, public meeting, had the press there, had the cameras rolling, and he confessed the sins of the people of Georgia and ask God to forgive those sins and ask God to overlook their weaknesses and please send some water. God answered that prayer. He sent the water and more and more and more and more, filled up all the reservoirs, all the rivers were going because of one man. See? That's why these things happen, so that people will turn to God, because they won't do it otherwise. So what is God going to do to wake them up? Then it comes to a point that God is going to take away the inheritance. Doesn't matter what land you've inherited in the world that God has given to you and your people, wherever you are. You sin against God, God is going to take it away. He will send an enemy and he will destroy, because you won't come to God. Now, that's what needs to be told to the people in America. Now, whether people want to believe that they're the descendants of Israel or not in the United States of America and some of the other choicest places of the earth, we're here. Now, see what happens. When it comes to a point that there is no repentance, and I couldn't help but think of that when I saw these raging people on the news in hatred over one man who said, "I believe in traditional marriage." Now, out of it, it showed there were more people than suspected, kind of like Elijah, you know, when he was feeling sorry for himself. God had to say, "Elijah, there are 7,000 men that haven't bowed the knee to Baal." And of course, he didn't know who they were. Okay? So what happened when they had the Chick-fil-A buy-in? They were swamped with people. So it shows there's some people out there. God is going to recognize even that. Well, look at this. See? But when it gets to the point of overwhelming sin, that there's no repentance at all, then God must take action to dispossess. That's what he did to Israel. 2 Kings 17 and verse 8. Verse 8, 2 Kings. "And they walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel which the nations had made." Now remember, 232 years God gave them. Verse 9. Now, as I read this, I want you to think of every individual. I want you to think of yourself. I want you to think of your community. I want you to think of your state. I want you to think of your nation. And maybe have the Ten Commandments right close at hand. "Now the children of Israel secretly did the things that were not right against the Lord their God. They built high places in all their cities for themselves, from the watchtower to the fortified city. They set up images and groves for themselves in every high hill and under every green tree. They burned incense in all the high places, like the nations whom the Lord had removed from before them." Because remember, what did God tell Abraham concerning the land? What did he say? And it took 400 years. He gave them. He said, "The sin of the Amorites has not come to the full." And he also told the children of Israel concerning the sex laws in Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20, as well as 19, he said, "Don't do these transgressions of my sex laws, because the nations whom you are replacing them are being expelled from the land because of those sins. Don't you do them." All right, so I want you to keep all of this in mind. God also told him, when you come into the land, beware. After you have everything and you're filled to the fullness and you have sealed houses and you're living in them and you have food without scarcity and you have cattle and you have gold and you have silver and you have brass and you have all of these things and all this wealth, he says, beware lest you forget the Lord your God. So keep all of that in mind as I'm reading this here. Verse 11. And they burned incense in all the high places like the nations whom the Lord had removed from before them, and they practiced evil things to provoke the Lord to anger. And they served idols of which the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing. And the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets, by all the seers, saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I gave your fathers, which I have sent to you by my servants the prophets. Now, God has done even better than that. In the nations affected by who are the descendants of the house of Israel, they average between 1 and 5 Bibles per household. They have got God's message in their houses, but they won't read it. They have it in their pulpits, but they refuse to obey. We have it in the White House. We have it in the Congress. They even open Congress in prayer every single day. And turn around and lie and cheat and commit all kinds of fraud and lying, sex sins by the so-called princes of Israel. So even though it's there, even though they know better. Verse 14, nevertheless, they would not hear but harden their necks like the neck of their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant, which he had made with their fathers, and his warnings that he testified against them. Notice all the evidence stacking up against them, see? And they went after vanity and became vain, and went after the nations around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them not to do them like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God. Did they have trouble? Yes, they did. Do we have trouble? Yes, we do. We say we are a Christian nation. We have taken God into compact with our Constitution, did we not? When you take God into your compact, he is going to hold you to your word. If you don't believe that, you go back and read the account about the children of Rechab. Remember the Rechabites? Rechab told all of his descendants, you shall not drink wine or strong drink ever, none of your descendants. So in the middle of Jeremiah's warning to Judah, he said, call in the children of the Rechabites here. So he called them in. He said, set before them wine and make them drink. The children of Rechab said, no, 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 no. We will not drink any wine because our father, Rechab, said, we shall not do it. So what did God say because of that? He said, if the children of Israel would do like the Rechabites, because they believed and followed their father to this day, and they refused to drink wine, therefore I will spare them and their descendants, but I'm sending the rest of you off into captivity. So I bring that up from this point of view, that in the midst of all the troubles that are coming down, God will spare those who honor him. Now, we can apply that to the church as well. All right? And they left all the commandments. Verse 16, of the Lord their God, made molten images, 2 calves for themselves. They made a grove, worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal, caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire. They used divination and sorceries and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. So the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. Not one was left only the tribe of Judah itself, then what did Judah do? They ended up doing worse. Now, let's come to the book of Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah, you see, what would you consider the worst offense against God? Let's come to Jeremiah, the third chapter, please. Here in the United States of America, British Commonwealth, Australia, New Zealand, what do you think is the worst violation against God that the so-called religionists have done? Those who call themselves Christian. What is the worst thing that they have done? They have rejected God by saying God has abolished his law. God holds all of the Protestants and Catholics responsible for taking his name in vain, for saying that he forsook his law, for calling the law a curse, for rejecting his Sabbath, and taking all of the pagan holidays of the nation and incorporating them as Christian festivals in their societies. And they have set the tone. And God is taking away their version of Christianity so fast it makes your head swim. They did the same thing. So here's what God says. Okay? Let's come here to verse 20, Jeremiah 3. Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so you have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, says the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel. Oh, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo, when they're in trouble, right? For they have perverted their way and they have forgotten the Lord their God. What is the remedy? A government entitlement? Based upon borrowing 40 cents of every dollar? No. Verse 22, return, O backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come to you. That's what they need to say. For you are the Lord our God. In other words, if you're going to return to God, you come to God on his terms. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the high hills, from the multitude of mountains. Truly, and the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Yet all the blessings that have come, all the things that God has done. I'm getting a book on about 32 things that have happened to America because there were individuals who would pray to God and believe God. Not called to conversion, but just for the nation. So I'm going to bring a sermon on that as well. God says return. He is not interested in bringing all of the curses. But if there is no repentance, they are going to come, and they're going to come in fury as it never even thought would happen. I mean, look at what has happened here in the last 3 years just with the wildfires alone. Let's go on. The shameful thing has eaten up the labor of our father. Is that what's happening? Where's the dollar going? Who owns all of the mortgages? Labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds and their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, our confusion covers us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even to this day. Does that sound a little bit like Genesis 6 that we read earlier? Yes, indeed. And have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. And God never said, Jesus never said, I have come to abolish the law. He even said clearly in the New Testament they lack the hold. don't even think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. Now notice what he says. Okay? Verse 1, chapter 4. If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be removed. And swear. How about this for a resolve and change? The Lord lives. Get rid of your atheism, evolution. Get rid of your false Christianity. Get rid of the other religions. Not only do the Christians have to repent, the Buddhists have to repent, and boy, do the Islamic Muslims have to repent. See? Because all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Here's what you're to say. As the Lord lives in truth, everything that God does is in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. Get rid of all your foolish laws and regulations and stupidity and religions that you have now. Remember this, the establishment, whether it's religion, government, finance, or whatever, the establishment never has it right. Never. That's the Broadway that Jesus talked about. Now notice, if they will swear, the Lord lives in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, then the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Not the great things that they have done, not the great things that they have built. No, in him. So God says, if you return, but they won't. Let's come over here to chapter 5 for just a minute here. Chapter 5. Let's pick it up here in verse 7. How shall I pardon for this? Your children have forsaken me and have sworn by them that are not gods. When I fed them to the full, then they committed adultery, gathered themselves by troops into the harlot houses. They were lusty, well-fed stallions in the morning, everyone neighing after his neighbor's wife. Now, what I want you to do in your mind's eye, have a panoramic view of all the bars, rock concerts, all of the places of entertainment, all of the places of sex that they have. All of those, have that in your mind and think about why God is going to punish. Because, see, in all of those, you have to add in the drugs, the lying, the cheating, the two-timing. All of those things come in that package, see. Yes. I saw a special about Miami. Wow. Then I thought about, what about every major city? What happens Friday night, which begins the Sabbath? They all run out and give themselves over to evil, don't they? Yes, indeed. And they're all given to pleasures. Yes, indeed. So God says, verse 9, shall I not punish for these things, says the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged upon such a nation as this? Go up on her walls and destroy, but do not make a full end. Take away the branches, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very deceitfully against me, says the Lord. They have lied against the Lord and said, it is not he. Neither shall evil come upon us, nor shall we see sword nor famine. And the prophets have become as wind. For the word is not in them, thus it shall be done to them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, Behold, because you have spoken this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire, and the people would, and it shall devour them. We're sitting right now on the brink of this. Now, let me just do a little sidebar here, okay? I know there will be some people who say, well, Fred Coulter's an angry man. That's not true. I'm very sad about what's happening. And I know how it's going to end because the Word of God tells us. And there was a Day of Atonement in 1979 when I resigned from the largest church of God in the history of the world. And God inspired me to say on that Day of Atonement that unless there was someone standing in the pulpit in Pasadena right now telling all the brethren, all the ministers to repent and amend your ways, that the forces would be set in motion which would destroy that church. I didn't have that in my notes. God inspired that. That didn't come from me. That came from God. Did it happen? Yes, it did. See, God's word is always true. Now, if it doesn't happen in 6 months, don't say I'm wrong. If it doesn't happen in a year, don't say I'm wrong. If it doesn't happen in 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years, don't say I'm wrong. Because God inspired me to say that in 1979, and it didn't reach its climax until 1995. God gave plenty of time, plenty of space, plenty of opportunities, like he has with this nation. He said he's going to do it. Verse 15, for lo, I will bring a nation upon you, O house of Israel, says the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a language whose nation you do not know nor understand what they say. Wonder if it's a coincidence about what the Chinese are doing, what the Muslims are doing, what organized crime is doing. All of those things. Think about it. Okay. So he says he's going to do it. Let's come down here to verse 21. Now hear this, O foolish people and without understanding, who have eyes and see not, who have ears and hear not. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence, I who have placed the sand for the boundary of the sea by a never-ending decree that it cannot pass it? That's why it's good to go out on the beach, the ocean, and watch the waves a while and think about that. And when you do, think that what you're looking at goes 12,000 miles before you come to the next continent. And though they toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though its waves roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people has a revolting and a rebellious heart. They have revolted and are departed from me. They do not say in their hearts, let us now fear the Lord our God, which gives both the former and latter rain in season. He reserves to us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withheld these things from you. So every farmer and rancher in all of the drought area in the Midwest, go look at your crops. And look at the sins of the nation and know that God has done that. Now, he may have mercy if there's some degree of repentance. We do not know. It's all within the realm of choice that the individuals have to make where we started in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15. There's life and death set before us. And God always honors repentance, just like he did with the governor of Georgia with the drought. There can be a reprieve for a while, But know for sure that that tsunami wall of debt, which faces the whole world, is going to come crashing down, just like the people in Indonesia were sitting there watching after the earthquake, right on the beach. And when the water went out, even some of the people went down where the water went out and didn't know that the water was being sucked back up into the tsunami. And all of a sudden, they're way down there where they shouldn't be, way below the water level, because the sand was exposed and they just followed it out there. And then they looked up and here comes the tsunami. So they start to run and run and run and run and run and run and run. And they can't get out of it fast enough, and bang, comes up and it flows over. And there were 250,000 people killed in Indonesia because of the tsunami. I wonder if that's why the Indonesian Muslims are not so hostile to the West, because we helped them. God honored that help. But all of those things are a warning. It's all going to come to pass, okay? Now come over here, chapter 6 and verse 16. God says this. Verse 14. Yeah, the priest, everyone deals falsely. Verse 14. They have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Thank you, Glenn Beck. There is no peace, and you aren't going to do it, and you aren't going to initiate the third great awakening. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them like those who fall. And at the time that I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I also set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the ram's horn. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear, you nations, and know, O congregation. Isn't that interesting? Even allowance for the churches of God, right? Right here. What will happen to them? Hear, O earth. Didn't we hear that somewhere before? I set heaven and earth against you this day. As a witness, behold, I will bring evil on this people. Now, here's God's righteous judgment. Remember where we started? That the thought of their heart was only evil continually. And it says in Genesis 8, from his youth up. Here's what God bases his judgment on. It's not arbitrary. It is not mean. It is not hostile. It is cruel. It is difficult. But here's why. Even the fruit of their thoughts. So let's stop and ask the question. What's on your mind? What goes through your mind that only you know? What evil imaginations do you conjure up in your mind? Because everyone has them, don't they? Yes, indeed. How do you think evil is perpetuated? And perversion is multiplied. And lying is sanctified. And cheating is hailed as the thing to do. And having a false religion, worshiping false gods. Oh, let's all get together and we'll all be good and come back to God our way. No, you come back to God his way. Now, we'll just do a little sidebar here. When God told the children of Israel to go into the land, that he'd take care of the enemy. They sent out 12 spies to spy out the land. They came back and 10 of them said, "Oh, boo-hoo, we can't do it. The people are so big, the walls are so high. We can't do that." And Joshua and Caleb said, "No, no, God will destroy them for us. We can win the battle." "Oh, no, 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 we won't do it. God is asking too much of us." You would think, you see, and that was only 18 months in the wilderness. Little did they know, because they refused God, they were going to spend another 38 and a half years wandering. See, it didn't have to be 40 years, but by the choice of the people in rejecting God. So, they cried and boo-hooed all night. God said, "All right, you will not go into the land. You are going to wander for 40 years, a year for every day." And then they thought about that at night and said, "Oh, well, we should go in. We'll go in, we'll go in." Moses said, "Don't do it. We'll go in, appoint us a captain." So here they go off charging, and they're going to do the will of God their way when God said, "Don't go." What happened? They got beaten back. Sound a little bit like our war on terror? Sound a little bit like one is going to chase 1,000 of us? Yes, indeed. All right. The fruit of their thought, because they have not hearkened to my words nor to my law, but have rejected it. Think about that. All right. Now, let's come over here to chapter 8. Like I've said before, read the book of Jeremiah. Okay? Now, for all of those elite out there, with all of your great degrees and your great colleges and your great scientific things that you do. Oh, by the way, remember the great cyclotron that they have over there in Switzerland? Okay. They now think that they have discovered the particle after all that time. And the universe is filled with them, brethren. And they won't acknowledge God. So all of the high and mighty, God has a message for you. All right? Let's pick it up here. Jeremiah 8 and verse 8. How do you say we are wise? Romans 1 says you're fools. And the law of the Lord is with us. Oh, we understand it. We'll interpret it our way. Oh, yes, indeed. Lo, certainly the lying pens of the scribes has written falsely. Have they not? Yes, indeed. And the wise men are ashamed. They're terrified and are captured. Lo, they have turned away from the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Therefore, I will take their wives. I will give their wives to others, and their fields to those who shall inherit them. For everyone from the least to the greatest is given unto covetousness. Isn't that true? Yes, indeed. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. I'm getting a report on a book that is titled Render to Rome. Yes, indeed. I'll give you a report on that. They have merchandised the people. They have taken from the people. They have preached sin and lawlessness to the people. And God's judgment is coming. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed an abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall, in the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down. Now, we don't know what the time of our visitation will be, but it's going to be something indeed. Let's come over here to the next chapter. I'm going to go over just a little bit here. Chapter 9. Here's how Jeremiah felt, and here's how I feel. Look out and see all that God has blessed this nation with and all the people that God has blessed on the earth that turn their back on him. Verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for traveling men, that I might leave my people and go away from them, for they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. They have bent their tongues like the bows for lies. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth, for they go from evil to evil, and they do not know me, says the Lord. All of these things are coming. God says here, come down here to verse 9. Nope, verse 7. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and try them. For what else can I do because of the daughter of my people? What do you expect God to do? Remember the keys. Remember the keys. Remember the sins. Their tongue is a slaughtering arrow. They speak deceit. None speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth. But one speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth. But in his heart, he lies in ambush. Shall I not visit for these things, says the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? So then he says, he's going to make Jerusalem a heaps. Now, let's come back to Matthew 24. And let's see about where we're headed here, huh? Now, for those of us in the Church of God, we better be strong. We better be praying. We better be studying. We better be living God's way. Because here's what we're headed to. Here's what Jesus said it would be. Matthew 24. After he said about false prophets and wars and rumors of wars and famine and earthquakes and things like that, he says now, verse 8. Now all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to afflictions and shall kill you. And did you not see the hatred and willingness to kill on the news for being against homosexual marriage? Yes, indeed. And he kept saying, "You the Bible, the Bible." Remember that? And shall kill you. And you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many shall be led into sin. Is that not what is happening? Just like lemmings. And shall betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And because lawlessness shall be multiplied. I don't think we understand the magnitude of what that is going to be. It's not just increase. It is multiplied. Remember the old story of doubling a penny every day for 30 days? At the end of 30 days, you'll have over $1 million. That's multiplying. Because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. And that's what we have to do, brethren. This gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all the world for a witness to all nations. Then shall the end come. Now, we don't know how long that's going to be, how long that's going to take. But we have to be ready at all times. Now, here's how bad it's going to be. Verse 21. It's all of this is going to lead up to the Great Tribulation. Now, I'm not saying all of this to scare you. I'm not saying these things because I have any delight in doing so. But I feel compelled in looking at what is happening in the world and the churches of God today. What else are we going to do? Because here's what's coming. For there shall be great tribulation such as has not been from the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be again. Because we're entering into the days when there are going to be a lot of people saying, well, why didn't someone tell me? And why didn't someone tell me how bad it was going to be? That's why I started out. Read Psalm 91. So I'll finish with that. Let's go to Psalm 91. Now, this is important because God is dealing with you. And remember, you can overcome your sins and faults and weaknesses, and God knows you have them. And some of them are going to be lifetime things that you need to work on. We're never going to be perfect in the flesh. So don't get discouraged and get, how should we say, down about everything. Don't. Okay. You are on God's side. So remember this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, and you do, world can't see it, knows nothing about it, but you do, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, just like he did with Lot and his daughters. Okay? They escaped. They had to go through some difficult times, but they made it. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the fowler's trap and from the destroying pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, his unseen protection. Under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler to give you strength. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the plague that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction lying waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not come near you. You may escape with the skin of your teeth. Only with your eyes you shall behold and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, because you know you live and move and have your being within him. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And they shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And you shall tread upon the lion and the asp and the young lion and the jackal you shall trample underfoot. And that will happen at the resurrection, brethren. Because he has set his love upon me. You just put your name there, see? Because he, that is you, have set his love upon me, that is God. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So, brethren, these days that we're living in, we need to really understand and stay close to God. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcnet.org. cbcg.org.